Hi, I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Podcast. Is your gut happy? If you have skin issues, digestive problems, fatigue, hormonal imbalances, pain, or mood issues, these can be signs that your gut needs healing. My guest today shares how to know if your gut is happy, and if it's not, what you can do about it. My guest is Dr. Vincent Pedre. He is the medical director of Pedre Integrative Health and founder of Dr. Pedre Wellness, and he's been in private practice in New York City since 2004. He is a clinical instructor in medicine at Mount Sinai School of Medicine, and he's also certified in yoga and medical acupuncture. He believes the gut is the gateway towards excellent health. For this reason, he wrote the book Happy Gut, The Cleansing Program, which helps to help you lose weight, gain energy, and eliminate pain, which helps people resolve their gut-related health issues. In today's interview, we discuss symptoms, though some of the ones that I just mentioned and others, that signal gut issues. We also talk about what contributes to gut problems and how to heal your gut in just 28 days. So please enjoy this interview. Dr. Pedre, it's so great to have you on my show.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's start with your story. What got you into doing what you do now?
It goes back to childhood. I grew up with what would have been called a nervous stomach. Back then, maybe now it would have been diagnosed as irritable bowel syndrome. But what is that really? Because it's just an umbrella term for some sort of imbalance that's happening with the gut. And I don't recall if it was that I had a nervous stomach initially because of, you know, like taking tests, or I used to perform the piano and would get, you know, the typical butterflies in the stomach. But at some point, I started getting sick and I would get antibiotics. And then I would get sick again a couple of months later and I would be on antibiotics again. And this was the 80s when Cipro was the newbie on the block. And for anybody that knows antibiotics, these Cipro, which is in the family of fluoroquinolones, these are quite broad spectrum antibiotics, and they decimate the gut flora. And a study found that they decimate it for 12 months. So it takes 12 months to recover from one course of Cipro. And imagine me as a teenager, I was placed on Cipro probably twice a year for like 4 to 5 years in a row. Because I always, you know, my mom would ask for it because she thought, well, that's what makes him better. But in the meantime, my gut was getting worse and worse. And I didn't realize that foods that were just staples in my diet, like dairy and wheat, were becoming problematic for me. And I don't know which one came first, if it was the antibiotics, the infections, just getting sick 3 to 4 times a year with sinusitis, bronchitis, sore throat. But at some point, I developed a sensitivity to both dairy and wheat. And if you deal with patients with food sensitivities, you know that they can suffer from a lot of gut distress. But it also affects the entire body as well. For me, so I went through my teenage growth spurt, I couldn't gain any weight. And I think part of it was that I had a leaky gut. My gut was inflamed and I simply couldn't absorb nutrients properly. And I was still drinking milk, having milk and cereal and having bread sandwiches, you know, just kind of a typical teenage diet. It wasn't the worst in terms of fast food. A lot of it was home cooked meals, but still not the right things. And it wasn't until I went to medical school and I took dairy out of my diet just because it didn't fit into my lifestyle as a medical student. And I realized that I wasn't getting sick as often. And since I was always looking for ways to not get sick so often, I really pinpointed that and started experimenting with diet at that point and seeing what different things might make me better or make me worse. And I started incorporating more healthy fats into the diet, like avocados and olive oil. And I noticed that I felt much sharper, and my gut wasn't completely solved, but it was less of an issue, not as bad. Still got nervous stomach with exams or with school stress, but it took me a couple of years later, after medical school, that I came to realize that wheat was also a big problem for me. And it was one of those, it was like the elephant in the room. It was the one that I did not want. I think I knew deep down inside that it was problematic, but I didn't want it to be because I knew that was going to cut out a lot of things that I enjoy eating. But at the time, I was already working with gut patients because I just developed this immense interest in gut health from my own experience, and the remarkable way that you can turn somebody around if you start with healing their gut issues. So I finally decided, okay, I need to, do what I preach, and I'm going to go gluten free. Well, that was like 8 years ago. And even though I'm not, I'll cheat once in a while and have gluten, but as soon as I went gluten free and within the month, I felt so much better, even more mentally clear. I didn't have the fatigue that I would get in the afternoon after eating a sandwich. And my memory was better. And my gut issues started resolving, and I did a whole program to reboot my gut health. But that finally made a huge difference for me, and made me realize how important it was to get people on the right diet. It may not be that gluten-free, dairy-free is the right diet for everyone. And interestingly, now that I've been off of wheat mostly for, almost a decade, I can have cheese or I can cheat and have ice cream. And as long as it's not excessive, I'm okay. It doesn't bother me now that I've rebuilt my gut flora. But it took me a long time, self-experimentation, and then working with patients and working with myself along with my patients. And they say, like, if you're, you learn best from having experienced things yourself. I think that makes us much better clinicians. You have more empathy and compassion for where someone is experiencing, where they're coming from, but you also know the possibilities of getting someone from a place where they feel no hope and despair to a place where they're going to feel great again. And they can't even visualize that that is a possibility because a lot of people with gut issues have been sick for years. So it took me the course from my teenage years until my mid-30s to finally zero in and fix all of the different issues related to my gut health.
Yeah, absolutely. And I so agree what you're talking about with having experienced yourself. It's the same thing with me. I had a lot of skin and health issues when I was a kid, and that's what led me to become a naturopathic doctor. And so I so appreciate what you're saying. And I think that for our patients, it gives them a sense that we really understand what they have been through, what they're going through, and that making a big decision like giving up gluten is something that we know is hard to do. So when we ask somebody to do it and we haven't done it ourselves, it doesn't give as much support for them. So I appreciate your sharing your own journey. And so I imagine this is what led you to write your book, Happy Gut.
It did because partly I just started treating people with gut issues just because I had a passion for it, and I found them to be really rewarding because there are certain diseases that are chronic and debilitating, and in spite of everything we do, we might not be able to completely we can slow them down, but we can't change the ultimate course of the disease. But with the gut, it's amazing what you can do for people. by just rebalancing the gut flora, getting rid of parasites, of yeast overgrowth, of bacterial overgrowth in the small bowel. And so I just woke up one day and realized, oh my gosh, like I didn't even, without choosing this, I'm becoming a gut expert. And I say quote unquote because I never feel like an expert. I feel like there's always room to learn, learn from patients, learn from our experience treating people. And what one highly respected doctor that is considered one of the founders of functional medicine told me, he says, you know, once you think you've figured it out, the next patient that walks through your door is going to trump you. There's always going to be a greater challenge. And he said, you never arrive. You're always growing. You're always learning. And it was actually inspirational because it made me feel more comfortable that even though I feel like I don't know everything, that I also know a lot from my years of experience. So it was finally from just becoming this gut expert, you know, quote unquote, I decided, you know, if I'm seeing so many people and I just kept getting more and more referrals, I'm like, well, why don't all these people know what to do with their gut? And I thought, well, if there are this many people in New York, there's got to be a lot of people all across the country and the world that could really use this information. And when you start thinking about legacy and what you want to leave in this world, for me, an important part of that was writing a book and feeling that my reach was much greater than what I could do as a single person. Because you can only see so many patients in a day. And if you really want to help people, you gotta spend time with them. So that limits the number of people that you can see in a day. But if you have this information that you can share with the world, you know, why not put it on paper and write a book?
That's great.
So that's how it came about. Really my desire to have a much greater reach than I could ever possibly have just in the four walls of my office.
Fantastic. So, I think a lot of people, when they hear about gut health, they think that they must have digestive issues, and that's really what you're focusing on. But you and I both know, and actually, probably a lot of my listeners and viewers know already, that the gut plays a big role in our overall health. And I talk a lot about how it shows up on our skin. And, you know, skin being our magic mirror, giving us great clues about our health, we can learn so much about a person's gut by looking at their skin. So, let's talk about some of the ways that the gut affects the health.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll start with a story about a patient that came in to see me after she had been to about five or seven dermatologists, one of them the top dermatologist at Mount Sinai Hospital here in New York. And the reason she was seeing me is because she had hives that would not go away. And she was from Ireland. And we all know, so I'm kind of a big believer, especially if the genetic pool is still cleaner, it's not mixed, that we kind of evolved to eat the foods that existed around us from the region that we're from. So in Ireland, there wasn't wheat. They were eating potatoes. So their genetics did not evolve to be able to break down gluten as well. And I suspected with her that she had a gluten issue. And of course, we looked at a lot of other things. But I got her on a gluten-free diet. And I bring her up, one, because her manifestation was on the skin. But two, she had no gut complaints whatsoever. She couldn't at first believe that wheat would be a problem or that a food would be a problem because it never made her feel sick. And I said, okay, let's just make a deal. You know, you've seen all these doctors. Just do it for a month. You know, just go on a limb with me. Let's just take gluten out for a month and let's see what happens. Well, she comes back 4 weeks later and tells me that her hives disappeared. And this was after 2 years of seeing top dermatologists trying to treat it from the outside in. As you know, a lot of dermatologists treat skin issues with topicals, but they're really band-aids. They're not really looking under the hood, which is looking at the gut. And we know that a lot of gut issues can manifest as different skin issues. So I was reading that there's almost 100% correlation between rosacea, which is a redness and sometimes almost like a pimply redness here in the T-zone, the triangle in the front of the face, with SIBO, which is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And so you cure the SIBO and the rosacea disappears. And you always know, like, if someone's having gut issues, people who get pimples on their noses, that's usually has to do with stomach issues, stomach acidity. They might have H. pylori. But we know also that it's a huge source of inflammation, and thus it can make other conditions that are inflammatory in nature worse. So for example, like asthma, like allergies, autoimmune disorders. There's a direct connection between gut health and the thyroid. And very interestingly, the gluten molecule gets cleaved by an enzyme. It's called tissue transglutaminase. And that's all over the body. So it's in what we call the interstitial space, even. So it's found in between the cells that line the gut, or between the lining of the gut and the inside. But they're also found in the thyroid, this enzyme. And this enzyme can form a polymer, this molecule with gluten, and suddenly the body's seeing not just the gluten, but it's seeing the self part, the enzyme. And the body loves to create antibodies to its own enzymes when it's sensitized. Enzymes are proteins that catalyze reactions. They break things down. But they also happen to be really potent inducers of the immune system when the immune system suddenly becomes alerted to them. So someone who has a gluten issue maybe has developed an immune reaction to gluten. Then by being an innocent bystander, the tissue transglutaminase enzyme gets attacked, and then it starts getting attacked in the thyroid. Then you end up developing a thyroid disorder as it starts to break down the tissue around the thyroid. And then you get proteins that are inside the thyroid cells that get spilled out, like the thyroid peroxidase enzyme, that is one of the most common antibodies found in women with Hashimoto's, which is autoimmune thyroid disease. And that makes up 90% of the thyroid cases in the United States are basically autoimmune. So we see these connections also with neurotransmitters, with the brain. The gut produces probably more neurotransmitters than the brain does. And even the gut flora is producing neurotransmitters like GABA, for example, which we know come lactobacillus can produce GABA. And GABA is a neurotransmitter that helps you relax. It's an inhibitory neurotransmitter, very necessary, right? In our hyper-wired society, we need more GABA. We've got to like slow down and relax. So it also affects mental clarity. So if you have an imbalance with an overgrowth of yeast or candida, we know those patients develop a lot of mental fog, poor concentration, lots of fatigue, body aches. But if you're listening to these symptoms, you probably notice that there's an overlap with hypothyroidism. So there's a lot of things that can kind of look alike that could be gut related, could be the interconnection between the gut and endocrine glands like the thyroid. I mean, we know that in order, so there are two types of thyroid hormone, the T4 and the T3, right? And that produces energy. That's what helps with fatigue, is thyroid hormone. It controls the rate of the metabolism. Well, most of it is created as T4, but you need to convert to T4 to T3, and it happens primarily in two places. And one of them is in the liver, but then a second place is in the gut, by the flora in the gut will convert T4 to T3, and then it gets reabsorbed into the body. It's kind of wacky to think. There's all these processes that are happening in the background. So part of your thyroid health is dependent on how healthy your gut microbiome is, your gut flora.
Yeah, that's amazing. There's so many different things that can go back to gut health and food sensitivities. When you are seeing patients, how do you know, or do you just treat everybody's gut? I mean, do you say, okay, well, this person has this whole list of symptoms, it sounds like the gut, or do you just end up treating everyone's gut?
I try to be very patient-centered in the way I approach things. So I will treat the gut in someone who doesn't have gut issues if they have other conditions that I know have a very high likelihood of being gut-related. But I get so many people that are coming in already with gut issues. So a lot of times I'm kind of like a subspecialist in that sense, because I have a lot of people that just find me as a result of my specialty in gut health. So a lot of people I put through, and everybody's in different stages. So interestingly, I'm getting more patients now who have more of a resonance with my philosophy. And a lot of times they've already started doing a lot of things that I would have had them do anyway in their diet. So they're coming to me in the best way possible as a team member. Because the old model of the doctor being, maternalistic or paternalistic, telling you what to do and you're just passively receive, we know that that model doesn't work, that you really need to get people engaged in their health care. I think naturopathic medicine is very good at that. Allopathic medicine, which is my background as an MD, is not. So, but I tell people, I'm just a guide. That's all I am. I'm a guide, and if the room is dark and you can't find the door or you need help finding the way out, I'm the one. I'm going to help you. I'm going to direct you. But you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to follow my advice and do the things. And everybody's in a different stage, right? So some people are capable of doing more, and some people you just have to walk them many steps in the direction that you know they need to go. But you don't want to overwhelm them, because if you try to get them to do this whole beautiful protocol that you have, they're going to fail because they're just going to get overwhelmed and not know where to start. But I don't know. Why did I get into a tangent about
No, that's a great, I
oh,
mean,
the
it's a great
team.
answer. And I think it sounds like a lot of the people that you see, they come to you because they already know they think there's something wrong with their gut. And I think a lot more people are talking about it now than they used to. When I graduated from naturopathic medical school in 2000, and you would say the word leaky or the words leaky gut, people would just kind of glaze over, especially medical doctors. And now it's a term that everybody's using. And so it's great that that recognition is here now. And so people are seeking you out for that.
And the term leaky gut has been scientifically validated. So now we understand the role of the protein zonulin in controlling gut permeability, and how things like gluten can actually affect zonulin secretion and increase gut permeability. And we also understanding how certain toxins, like the BT toxin, which is one of the genetically modified toxins used in crops like corn and potatoes, that it pokes holes in the lining of the digestive system. So it also causes gut permeability. So I think the world has, not only are we more accepting of the term, but also the food world has become more toxic to our human physiology. And thus we're seeing a rise of gut disease that didn't exist years ago. And I was talking to a gastroenterologist that had been in practice for about 20 years. And he said, when I first started practice, IBS was a diagnosis, but it just wasn't that big. And noticed in the last decade, it's just gone like this. More and more people with quote unquote IBS, because I really think IBS is not really a diagnosis. It's just a term to describe symptoms that could have so many different causes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you thanks for bringing that up about genetically modified foods, because I think a lot of times people think of it as more of an environmental issue and not so much of a health issue, and that people are confused about how it could possibly affect the human body and what's the problem with it. It's
It's
gonna, you know, so
everything.
yeah.
It's both an environmental issue and it is a physiological issue with the body. Because, for example, Roundup, which is one of the most common used pesticides on genetically modified crop, that is known as Roundup Ready crop, like soy and corn, meaning that it can tolerate getting doused with the pesticide and it won't destroy the crop. But what is glyphosate? So Roundup, the active ingredient is called glyphosate. And what is that? It's a chelating agent. It binds metals. And so it starves the bacteria of the essential minerals that they need to operate. And that's how it kills them. Well, it's also, if you look up the patent for glyphosate, it's patented as an antimicrobial. It's an antibiotic. And we know that these residues stay on the food that they have been used for. So we're getting exposed, or we're ingesting this, or farmers, people that live in the country where this is sprayed, you can inhale it. You can ingest it that way. And it's decimating. I mean, it's part of what's causing all this dysbiosis, which is just this loss of the balance between the good bacteria and the bad bacteria in the gut.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, certainly a big concern. So it's important for people to choose organic, non-GMO foods and just know where your food's coming from. Get involved if you can, right?
Well, the more voices, the more people speaking up against this. I think people feel powerless, but I think if people band together and they continue beating the drum, and more and more people beat that drum, it just gets stronger and stronger. And I think eventually, it doesn't matter how big the corporations are, they have to listen, or Congress has to listen.
Right, absolutely. So let's talk about your gut program that you created, that you talk about in your book, right? Let's talk about
Yeah,
that.
so it's called Gut Care. And CARE is an acronym for cleanse, activate, restore, and enhance. And I love the word when I was trying to figure out an acronym that I wanted to use. And I came up with the word CARE first and then figured out what each letter was going to mean. But I love the idea of just getting people to think about caring for self. Because a lot of the gut patients that I get, they're people that put themselves last. They care for everyone else before themselves. And they almost treat themselves in the way that they wouldn't even treat their own child. So first, my first conversation with them is really about kind of nurturing the self. And so interesting that a lot of gut patients are deficient in self-nurturing. And what is the gut all about? It's about nurturing ourselves with nutrients. So then the components of it, the cleanse, is basically about reestablishing the balance between the good and the bad in the gut, getting rid of parasites, getting ye rid of yeast if it's present. But it's much more expansive than that. And it's partly because, I mean, you kind of hinted at it with talking about genetically modified crops, but I had a really strong passion for the environment and for the connection between environmental health and our health. So even just thinking about the water that you're drinking, you want to make sure that your water is getting filtered, that it doesn't have heavy metals in it, like lead, like we saw in Flint, Michigan. But also another thing that people don't think about is the cookware that they cook on. You know, whatever you cook on becomes part of you. So if you're using those anti-stick pots, the Teflon, the fire retardants, that gets into your body, and these are persistent organic pollutants. They're very difficult to get rid of, and they short circuit your metabolism, make it hard to lose weight. So I talk about cleaning out the diet, getting rid of the most inflammatory foods like dairy, wheat, soy, corn, sugar, but also greening your kitchen, getting rid of all of your cooking utensils, pots and pans that are toxic to you, and also your water supply, and even thinking about your air. And then finally, cleanse is like, to me, is the biggest step because it has so many key elements of what needs to be done to improve gut health. The last thing is cleansing the mind of negative thoughts. So important when you're creating any life-changing behaviors or health transformation to not forget to get that you have to deal with the self-defeating thoughts that happen. And I think all of us, including myself, are guilty of having negative or self-defeating thoughts. And so I talk about gratitude as a way to, it's kind of like the gratitude is like the potion that remedies negative thoughts. Because in that moment, when you're being grateful for something in your life, then no matter how tough your life is, you can always find something to be grateful for. In that moment, there is no room for negativity. It cannot exist in the brain at the same time that gratitude exists. So I think it's like my antidote to negativity is to live in gratitude. And then activate is about reactivating the proper enzyme processes in the gut. So if there is not enough stomach acid to replenish the stomach acid, or maybe pancreatic enzymes or other enzymes to just to kind of give the gut a rest so that it doesn't have to work as hard. And it's part of the repair process of repairing a leaky gut. So it's kind of like if you hurt your knee and you had to walk with a cane. The enzymes are helping your body break down the food so you can extract the nutrients more easily. Then the R is a restore, which means restoring the gut flora, and that can be through probiotics, but also through prebiotic foods. And we all know and eat them, like asparagus, like onions, garlic, leeks, Jerusalem artichoke, dandelion greens. But even just thinking like, people ask me, how do you create a diverse microbiome? Well, you eat the rainbow. You make sure that from the beginning of the week to the end of the week that you've covered a rainbow of colors in the types of foods that you eat so that your body's getting the diverse array of nutrients that are necessary to then have a diverse gut flora, because diversity is what creates good health. And the final step, which is enhance, and that is basically about restoring the integrity of the gut lining. And we use nutrients like we all know about L-glutamine being great for helping with leaky gut syndrome, but also diglycyrrhizinated licorice, which is DZL, GG. Now it's easier for me to say the long term. I don't know why. It's DGL and aloe, for example. But even taking probiotics helps reestablish the integrity of the gut lining. It's so key to understand that we're just the microcosm of a universe that lives not only outside of us, but inside of us. Because we have all, probably close to 100 trillion bacteria inside our gut. And if you just as a comparison, there's about 400 billion stars in the Milky Way. So there's more bacteria in our gut than there are stars out in that Milky Way galaxy. So we've got our own personal galaxy right inside of us. We have to take care of them. That's so integral to understand that, you know, we're coexisting, we're symbiotic beings, and they can control things. So I'm sure you see patients that get sugar cravings and they have yeast overgrowth or they have candida. And it's the candida that's partly causing the brain to crave the sugar. And as once you change the diet and you get rid of the yeast overgrowth, the sugar cravings disappear. So there's this bidirectional interaction that is happening with our gut microflora. So that's basically in quick summary what my gut care program is. It's just the way I formalize the system that I use to help people heal their gut lining and but not just their gut issues, but the rest of their body. So it's always really interesting to see what was really related to their gut health and really wasn't something that was located in the periphery. It was actually central to what was happening in their body. And once you fix that, you fix the other things.
With your program, about how long does it take for people to see results? What do you typically see?
So my program is 28 days long. And I did 28 days because if you know, understand immune complexes, so I took what would be the typical patient eating all the wrong foods, the inflammatory foods, your body's forming antibodies to them. And if you imagine that these antibodies are like goalposts and they bind to antigens, which could be a partially digested piece of wheat or gluten, let's say, that binds here and one binds here. But then another molecule can bind over here, and then they can form a circle. They form these antibody complexes that are very heavy and they tend to precipitate around the joints and cause inflammation. Well, it takes about 2 weeks after you clean out the diet for those complexes to start to resolve. And then it takes about another week to really start to, I would say, begin the process of healing the gut lining. The first 2 weeks are really a washout for people. And some people, even the first week, feel like nothing is working. And they actually feel worse than they felt before they went on the diet. And we know it's because the person is detoxing, and part of it is because of these immune complexes. So at 28 days, people can start testing out certain foods to see if they have reactions. To me, that is the minimum. But when I'm working individually with patients, sometimes, especially really sick patients, they're feeling so much better at 28 days that, and they've finally made the association between, okay, when I eat dairy, I feel really achy and I break out in acne. And now that I'm not going to go back and test dairy. Like, I don't need to, because I'm feeling so great that I'm not going to do that. And so some people extend it and they'll stay on some sort of modified diet. And eventually you can do what I ended up doing, whereas if I may cheat once in a while and have gluten, like in the holidays. And but it's only going to be for special occasions. And otherwise I know that it's damaging to me, so I stay away. And I really don't miss it because I focus not on what I can't eat. And I tell patients this also, and I'm sure you tell people, is don't focus on what you can't eat, focus on what you can eat. There's a much bigger array of things if you think of it that way. And be experimental. You know, go to the farmer's market and discover new foods. Become friends with the organic farmer and ask them, you know, something. If you don't recognize something, you know, ask them about it. That's what I do, and they always have ideas. They tell me how to prepare it and what it would go well with.
Yeah, I
So,
agree. I agree. It's good to experiment with different types of food and not always eat the same food all the time. Even if it's a seemingly healthy food, if you eat it all the time, you're either missing out or you could be setting yourself up for a food sensitivity just by doing that. So, especially with people with gut
exactly.
issues. And I, you know, and I wanted to talk about the timing of things because it's important. I think it's important for people to realize that sometimes you have to be patient with this, that it's not necessarily a quick fix. A lot of my patients, I'll see a big difference in 2 weeks. And that's why I have a 2 week program, because I feel like in 2 weeks is when people start to notice a difference and that gives them hope. And then a lot of those people, if they've had a lot of skin issues or, you know, a lot of gut issues, I'll explain to them you have to continue on this a little bit longer to completely heal. But at least 2 weeks gets people started. And I like what you're talking about. A month, you know, is really giving it a really good chance for. To see what the body can do to repair itself. So, well, thank you so much for your information today. I really appreciate it. Tell everybody how they can find you.
So I, if they go to my website, it's happygutlife.com, and they can get a free gift if they go to happygutlife.com/gift. I have my 10 tips for healthy, happy gut. So.
Excellent. All right, we'll put that link up on my website too, so people, if they're driving, they don't have to pull over to write that down. Just go to the website. Well, again, thanks so much for coming on and Happy New Year.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Pedre. To learn more about Dr. Pedre, you can visit my website, thespadoctor.com. Go to the podcast page with his interview, and you'll find all the information and the link to his website there. Also, while you're there, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community on my website or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. If you haven't done so already, I want you to invite you to go take the skin quiz. Go to theskinquiz.com, get your own customized skin report. It's free and only takes just a few minutes. So it's 10 questions, and you'll get your own customized skin information. Just go to theskinquiz.com. Also, don't miss out on the latest tips for glowing skin and vibrant health. Join me on social media on Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Join the conversation. Thank you, and I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor podcast.